ಐದಕ್ಕೂ ಹೃದಯ ದೇವಸ್ಥಾನ ನಾನು ಸ್ವಾಮೀಜಿ ಅನುಭವಕ್ಕೆ
ಜಯ
ಮುಡಿಬೇಕು. ಎಪ್ಪಳೂ ಎನ್ನೆ ಭಕ್ತನಾಗುವಾಯಾಗ என்னை வழிபட்டு மறுக்கின்ற இவ்வாறே இவ்வாறு நீ இடமே தவறாக வந்து சேர்வாய். நீ எனக்கு முக்கியமான நன்றாக காரணமாக உனக்கு இந்த வாசனையை நான் கூறுகிறேன். ஒருமுறை கிருஷ்ணனுடைய தூய மகனாக ஆகி எப்பொழுதுமே அவரை பற்றி எண்ணி அவருக்காக செயல்பட வேண்டும் என்பதை நான் இந்த ரகசியமான பகுதியாகும். வெறும் சடக்கியான செய்பவனாக அவர் ஆகிவிடக்கூடாது. கிருஷ்ணனை பற்றி எப்பொழுது நினைப்பதற்கான வாய்ப்பு இருக்கும் வரை இருக்கும் வகை வாழ்வு அமைக்கப்பட வேண்டும். தன்னை தினத்தை சேர்ந்த எல்லாமே கிருஷ்ணன் தொடர்பு உடையதான் இருக்குமாறு வரும் செயல்பட வேண்டும். நான் 24 மணி நேரமும் கிருஷ்ணனை பற்றி நினைக்காமல் ஒரு தரம் இருக்க முடியாதவாறு ஒருவன் அந்த வாழ்க்கையினை அமைக்கப்பட வேண்டும். இத்தகைய புதிய கிருஷ்ணன் இருப்பவர்கள் எவருமே கிருஷ்ணனை தளத்துக்கு நிச்சயமாக திரும்பி செல்ல என்பதும் கிருஷ்ணனே நேரடியான உறவில் ஈடுபடுவார் என்பது இறைவனுடைய வாக்குறுதியாகும். ஞானத்தின் தனது ரகசியமான தொகை இதுவேயாகும். அர்ஜுனன் கிருஷ்ணனை இழப்பு என்றான் என்பதன் காரணமாக அவருக்கு இது சொல்லப்பட்டது. அர்ஜுனனின் பாதை மற்றும் ஒவ்வொருவரும் கூட கிருஷ்ணன் இழப்பு என்பதாக மாறி அர்ஜுனனை போன்று அதே பக்குவத்தை அடைகிறார். ஒருவன் தன் மனதை கிருஷ்ணன் மீது நேர்த்த வேண்டும் என்ற சொற்கள் வலியுறுத்துகின்றன. நீரிழந்த ஒருவன் இரு தலைமையின் துணாமல் ஏந்தி அழகான் அழகான் உலகுடன் நீரின் மயிற்சியோடு நிற்கும் உருவங்கள் விஷ்ணு நாராயண காமர் பராக் உருவங்கள் கூட இருக்கின்றன. ஆனால் அதற்கு
So we should think of Krishna. And worship Krishna. And dedicate ourselves fully to Krishna. Now in this purport, Srila Prabhupada says that we should not even divert our minds to various other forms of
the Lord.
There are many other forms of the Lord, such as Varaha, Rama, Nrisimha. But Srila Prabhupada says that we should concentrate our mind particularly on the two-armed form Krishna who is standing before Arjuna. And even Prabhupada gives a description of Krishna not exactly before Arjuna, because Krishna was standing before Arjuna in Rajavesh, in the dress of a king. With a helmet and armor for battle and shoes. But Prabhupada recommends here we should think of Shyamasundara Krishna, two-handed form, holding the flute. With a peacock feather in his hand. Now, elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita as it is, in the purports and in other places in Srila Prabhupada's books, he writes that we can worship any form of the Lord. We can worship Lakshmi Narayana as also as Lakshmi Narasimha,
Sita Ram,
even we have here in Chennai in the ISKCON temple worship Krishna with Rukmini and Satyabhama.
Put it down your mic.
So Prabhupada appears to be contradicting himself. Not exactly. Because different instructions are for different people. Namai Namsho Jiva Loki Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. Every jiva is part and parcel of Krishna eternal. Or as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, Jiva Swarupai Krishna Nityadas. The eternal position of the jiva is as the servant of
Krishna.
So Narayana is Krishna. Radha is
Krishna.
Varaha is Krishna.
Raman Krishna.
Varaham. Varaham Murti. Narasimha Devi is
Krishna.
So if one concentrates one's attention on any of these forms of the Lord, that is Krishna consciousness. But especially followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they especially concentrate on the worship of Radha
Krishna.
They give respect to all the forms of the Lord. But their special attraction is toward Krishna. And especially Krishna in
Vrindavan.
Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna in Mathura, Krishna in Kurukshetra, Krishna in Dwarka, same Krishna. But in Vrindavan, Krishna's sweetness is manifested. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special contribution is that he has emphasized Madhurya Bhagavata Sar. That the essence of God's Godness, the essence of Bhagavan's Bhagavata, is sweetness. Generally we think that the prime factor of God being God is His power. So it's true that God is all powerful. If He's not all powerful, then He's not God. But He's not only all powerful. He's all merciful and all loving also. So because we are in mundane consciousness, we think in terms of power. I am better than you, or I want to be better than you. Therefore, we think that the most important factor in Godhead is His power. But Krishna is so unlimitedly powerful that to Himself, His own power, He doesn't consider it very important.
கிருஷ்ணர் அந்த அளவுக்கு மிக அதிகமான சக்தி வாய்ந்தவர். கிருஷ்ணர் தன்னுடைய மிகப்பெரிய சக்தியை பற்றி கூட கருத்தில் கொள்வதில்லை.
He just thinks it's normal. Just like if you think of a very rich man, Bill Gates is very famous. Or in Tamil Nadu, T.V. Sundaram. T.V. Sundaram, I know. So we think he's very rich, but for him it's normal to have so much money. Just like people in India, they want to go to America and they think it's so much better there in America. So much material facility. But in America, people, they don't think it's anything special. For them, it's just normal. So in the same way, Krishna, we may be very much amazed at the power of God. That's good if we are amazed at the power of God. That's a lot better than not recognizing that the power is coming from Him. If we don't recognize that all power comes from Him, then we're atheists. But the highest standard of theism is not simply to recognize the power of God. There's more to it than that. Outside this building, there's a picture of a man with so many muscles. Some people do so much exercises, their body actually doesn't look nice. It looks, looks too much, too many muscles. One time in America, one of Prabhupada's disciples they made a painting of Krishna like this with lots of muscles. And Prabhupada said, this is the meat eater's concept of beauty. And he brought a picture of Krishna from India, he had with him, and he showed, you know, round face, butter thief, soft skin. Prabhupada said, this is the milk drinker's concept of beauty. So if we see someone who's exercising so much like this, we think it's too much, isn't it? In the Western countries, they're so insane. They have this kind of bodybuilding, not only for men, but for women too. So they have women's muscle contests and the women. What do you think, Sri Lakshmi Devi Dasi? You want to become very strong? And then you can win the All India Strong Woman Championship. Want to translate? You don't want to embarrass her? I'm embarrassing her, not you. You can ask the ladies in general. So, women, they are already more powerful without doing exercise. Just by their eyes they control it. So I've learned, Prabhupada said in his books, that just by moving the eyes, the woman can control very powerful men. So if we see someone like that, they've got so much muscles, we think they're too much concerned with power. That they only relate to people in terms of, I've got more muscles than you. So if we only see Bhagavan in terms of his strength, it's something like that. What kind of person is he? He's so strong that he's just smashing everyone in the face. That kind of strength is not nice. That's demonic. That's why maybe in Tamil Nadu at one time they were worshipping Ravana. They were thinking Ravana was actually stronger than Rama, but just by some luck, Rama was able to kill Ravana. So better worship Ravana. I think that movement's not so strong now. About, what, 30, 40 years ago it was very strong. That's why in our new rented property in Vellore, the man opposite us, his name is Ravana. That one.
He gave it.
Who gave him? Who? Karuna. Oh. Karuna Nidhi gave the name. But actually, he's a devotee. He's got that name. So they're glorifying Ravana. But the better concept of theism is not to see, is Ram more powerful than Ravana? Definitely that's true. But how much better Ram is than Ravana? It's not just who's the strongest, but we have to see who's a better person. Ravana was the very symbol of adharma. Because he took away so many people's wives by force to enjoy them. And still he was dissatisfied. But Ram is the symbol of dharma. Because even though so many princesses, Rajkumaris, would be happy to be his wives, he showed the principle of being content with one wife.
Rajkumari
Actually, it is not adharma for a kshatriya to have many wives. Of course, Dasharath had three wives. And Vasudev had how many? Nine wives? So, but Rama wanted to show that we should be satisfied. Especially in the modern age, it's difficult even to look after one wife, and what to speak of 16,000 and more. So, devotees of Lord Rama, they love him. It's not just that they're impressed by his power. But they love him for his divine qualities. So why does Prabhupada say that we should concentrate on Krishna? Well, it's a case of if the shoe fits, wear it. There's an English saying. If the shoe fits, you can wear it. If this instruction is meant for you, you can take it. If this instruction appeals to your heart, you can take it. If you want to worship Lakshmi Narasimhadev, that is very nice. If you are attracted to worship Sita Ram, that is very nice. But the sweetness of Bhagavan, the loving of Bhagavan, which is the very essence of his being, is most in Krishna. That has been analyzed by Srila Rupa Goswami. That even though Rama, Narasimha, Varaha, Kurma, Narayana, they are all non-different from Krishna, still Krishna is very special. Because Krishna has four especially attractive qualities which even Narayan doesn't have. What are those? Well, one is his Rupa Madhuri. The form of Lord Narayan is extremely beautiful. There is nothing in this material world which can even slightly compare to the beauty of Lord Narayana. But even Lord Narayana is attracted when he sees the form of Lord Krishna. And even Krishna is attracted when he sees the form of Krishna. Because Krishna's form is exceptionally beautiful. It is not anything that we can judge materially. Just like they have beauty contests. And they judge this one is number one most beautiful, Miss World. But Krishna's beauty exceeds It's just in a completely different category to that of the. To that of the smelly Miss World. Smelly, bad smelling. They go under the hot lights and they have to put on so much perfume, otherwise, for all their so called beauty, they'll be stinking. So, even if we, whatever beauty is there in this material world, that is only coming from Krishna. Nara, Narayan, Rishi, who are the avatars of Bhagavan Narayan. They were performing austerities just to teach the people of the world how to do tapasya. So Indradev thought these are some ordinary rishis, and by their tapasya they'll take over my position. So he sent some apsaras, beautiful heavenly girls, to distract their mind from their tapasya. So they went and they were dancing and singing, and Narayan Rishi opened his eyes. And he saw them dancing. He said, okay, nice dancing. So he wasn't disturbed, and then the apsaras thought, now we're going to get cursed, because with the rishis you either make them fall down or they make you fall down. It's a risky mission. If you're not successful, they curse you, then you have to become a snake or a crocodile or something like that. So they're afraid they're going to get cursed, but in fact, the Lord was just calm. So he called Indradev and said, you like beautiful women? Here, take some more. And he created some more from his own potency. They were all millions of times more beautiful than the apsara. So from his form comes all beauty. So his beauty is simply indescribable. And the form of Krishna is so beautiful that even Narayan and even Krishna himself are attracted. Now there are some other very special qualities of Krishna that even Narayan doesn't have. Bhagavan Narayan has four hands, and in his four hands, it's very famous, he holds Shankha, Gada, Chakra, Padma. And sometimes he shows more than four hands. And then you can also have sword, bow, arrows, and so many others. But Krishna only has two hands. And in his two hands he holds a flute. But that flute is more attractive than Lord Narayan's Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. By the sound of that flute, all the worlds are astounded. Once Krishna left the Rasa Leela, and the gopis came to look for him. So they almost found him, and then Krishna took the form of Narayana. So Krishna can take Narayana form, but Narayana doesn't take Krishna form. So when the gopis saw Narayana form, they said, Namo Narayana, they offered obeisances. Where is Krishna? So these gopis, who were so much in love with Krishna, that when they saw Narayana, I think they thought, he should try to find us Krishna. Those same gopis, the transcendental lovers of Krishna, the topmost devotees, they are not particularly attracted to the form of Narayana, but by the sound of Krishna's flute, they all come running. So this is Rupa Madhuri, Venu Madhuri. There is also Leela Madhuri. Krishna has so many wonderful leelas. And they're all very sweet. Generally, we know of one main leela of Lord Nrsimhadev. And one main leela of Vamanadev. There are other leelas also. Just like when Vamanadev, he became the watchman at the gate of Bali Maharaj in Sutta. So one time Ravana, he was going all over the universe and conquering everything and everyone. So he came to Sutta and wanted to enter Bali Maharaj's court, his large sabha. And Vamandev, little dwarf, said, stop, where are you going? And Ravana thought for a second and thought, shall I step on him and kill him? And he thought, no, I won't bother. What's the use? He's only a little child. He just walked on. He didn't take any notice. Next second he had a big kick in his backside. And he was kicked to the other side of the universe. You just think, it's a little boy, what will he do? But Vamandev with his little lotus foot kicked into the other side. So Ravana was very lucky to get the touch of the Lord's lotus foot. But he wasn't intelligent enough to become his devotee. So he didn't bother coming back again to Sutta to try to disturb Bali Maharaj. And later he also got the lotus arrows of the Lord in his heart. So there are other leelas of the different forms of the Lord, but mostly they are all famous for one particular leela. Among all the forms of the Lord, Ramchandra Bhagavan has multiple leelas. And of course, Krishna does also. But Krishna, nevertheless, it's said that he has the Leela Madhuri. His Leela is particularly sweet. Because the exchange of love between, in the Leelas of Krishna, the exchange of love with his devotees is more intense. Krishna even sometimes put his devotees into great distress just so that the sweetness of their love could be demonstrated. Just like Krishna was dancing on the heads of Kaliya, and then out of sport he allowed himself to be grabbed by Kaliya and pulled under the water. And all the Vrajavasis, they felt, now Krishna is dead, we are also dead. And they were feeling so much separation from Krishna, they thought, we should enter the waters of the Yamuna and die. But then they thought, there's no need to enter the water of the Yamuna, because if Krishna isn't here, anyway we're dead. So they were, the intensity of their love increased so much out of the pain of thinking that Krishna is gone. And of course, after some time, Krishna came up and they got their life
back.
So Krishna has so many wonderful pastimes. An overview of which is given in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And summarized in Srila Prabhupada's Krishna
book.
Who has got Prabhupada's Krishna book? Who's got that book? Who's read that book? You should read. Prabhupada writes that simply by reading this book, one can become fully Krishna conscious. So you try and distribute this also. Generally, people like to take Bhagavad Gita, which is good. But Krishna is not understood only through philosophy. The philosophy of Bhagavad Gita is essential. But ultimately, Krishna is not simply an object of philosophical discussion. He is the supreme object of love. Which brings us to the fourth special characteristic of Krishna, which exceeds the qualities even of Lord Narayana. Which is his prema. That he's surrounded by devotees whose degree of prema is unimaginable, even for Lord Narayana. So this is really the essence of Krishna's greatness. It's not simply power, but it's sweetness expressed through his loving dealings with his devotees. And this is especially what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to do. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He is Krishna. He is discontented Krishna. Krishna is always satisfied. But when Krishna thinks that my devotees, the bliss they get from loving me and serving me is more than the bliss I get from being with them, I want to know what it's like to taste my own sweetness and appreciate what is this bhakti ras. Then Krishna comes as Chaitanya
Mahaprabhu.
So, sweeter than Krishna is Krishna Prem. But Krishna is the Vishai Vigraha, he is the subject of Krishna Prem. And the devotees, they are Ashray Vigraha, they are the ones who actually have the Prem. So Krishna thought, I'm supposed to be the supreme enjoyer, but my devotees, by loving me, they're getting more happiness than I'm getting. So Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, forgetting that he is Krishna. So that he can experience the bliss of loving himself. You look confused. It's not surprising because even Lord Brahma, with his four heads, and each head is billions of times more intelligent than Einstein, he can't understand it. That can only be understood by the special mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is the nature of bhakti? And especially, what is the sweetness of Krishna in
Vrindavan?
This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach. When we say teach, it's not exactly like drilling someone, 1 plus 1 equals 2. But it's infusing into the heart. Of course, there are many rules and regulations of bhakti, which help us to concentrate our mind on Krishna. But that is really the point. The rules and regulations in themselves are not the point. The rules and regulations should be followed. But they are not the end in themselves. Aradito yadi haris tapasatata kim. Naradito yadi haris tapasatata kim. Narad Muni says that if we're spontaneously worshipping Krishna, then what is the need of following so many austerities, so many rules and regulations? And if we follow so many rules and regulations and austerities, but we don't develop love of Krishna, then what's the use of following all these rules and regulations? So certainly rules and regulations are required. Otherwise, unless we have a regulated process, then we'll tend to become attracted to the material energy. So the rules and regulations help us to become attracted to Krishna. Just like we have the rule that one should chant the holy names on beads a fixed number of times. So obviously that will help us to awaken our attraction for Krishna. So rules and regulations are required. But the aim is that we will develop our spontaneous attraction for chanting the holy name. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is a great gift for mankind. And not only for mankind, for all living beings. Pashu Paki Kitadi Bolitena Pari Shunile Horinam Tara Otor. The animals, the birds, the insects, and other living beings, they cannot chant Harinam. But if they hear Harinam, they can also be delivered. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us this process of chanting Hare Krishna to help us to develop love of Krishna up to the highest, sweetest level. Beyond the grandeur and the opulence of Vaikuntha is the sweetness of Vrindavan. That's why Prabhupada says that one should not even concentrate his minds on the form of Varaha or Rama, but should concentrate on Krishna in Vrindavan. So we're not going to go to all the Divya Deshams and say, stop all this, close down the temple. We shall go there, we shall bow down, and we shall appreciate the bhakti. And we shall be grateful to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada that they have introduced us to the path of Krishna Bhakti that gives us a sweetness that even great acharyas, that like Sri Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, they were not able to propagate. So is there any question? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that Ramanujacharya is Nityananda Prabhu. Ramanuja is Nityananda. Is Nityananda his guru? Nityananda is Balaram, he gives strength. Spiritual strength. So Guru means he is non-different from Lord Nityananda. But he also said this, that even great acharyas like Ramanuja and Madhva, they were not, even though they're so great and so powerful, they were not able to appreciate the sweetness of Krishna and Vrindavan. So he can say he's a Mahabhagavat Vrajvasi. We shouldn't think that we shall go and we shall blame the acharyas. We shall place our heads on the ground in front of them. We were just driving, we saw Sri Parambador, they make it into a big industrial area. Sri Parambador, we were driving now just from Vellore to Chennai, and we see Sri Parambador, they're making it a big industrial area. They want to make everything industrial. Some places they should maintain as purely spiritual places. They want to make everything into industry. It's unfortunate how Indian people have lost track of their own wealth, their own spiritual wealth. Anyway, are there any questions? I got some questions in the email today from one of my disciples who's present here. So one of them was about garlic and onions. Now there's some story in the Puranas. I've heard it told many times. I don't know exactly what is the source, but it's the story is in circulation. It's during some time of some famine, some dead cow was buried, and from the earth there the garlic and onion came up. Some story is like that. But actually, you see, in traditional understanding, it's not veg and non-veg. These words are not there. No, that's what I want to say. The English word is veg, non-veg. Shakaha and mamsaha. So, according to that classification, This garlic and onions is vegetarian. But the Sanskrit term is amisham. Now nowadays we interpret amisham. We say amisham, and we presume that distinguishes vegetarian from non-vegetarian, but it's not, it doesn't, this amisham means just like amedhya, it means something it's not to be taken. So amisham includes meat, fish, eggs, garlic, onions, mushrooms. So it's not just a matter of veg and non-veg, but garlic and onions are considered in the same category as meat, actually. it's forbidden food. There's some other question about we're supposed to sleep less. But what if we sleep less and then we can't concentrate because our mind is too tired? Should we sleep less and be tired and we can't concentrate, or sleep more and then we can, our mind will be fresh? But on the whole, we should try to sleep less, but we should be sensible also. It's important to rise early in the morning, because the Brahma Muhurtam is the most important time for spiritual advancement. And we should try to gradually reduce our eating and sleeping. But then if we sleep less and then we're not ready for that, then it might be better to take the amount of sleep that we need. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, yukta ahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasya yukta svatdhava bodhasya yoga bhavati dukkha. That by taking an appropriate amount of food, sleep, work, recreation, all these things, a yogi can conquer over all troubles, all dukkha. One devotee told me he was having a problem with headaches for years, and one doctor told him that you're not sleeping enough, you should sleep more. So he started sleeping more and his headaches went away. And I started doing the same thing too, because I had severe headaches for several years. So now I sleep more than I used to, and I don't have headaches much like I used to. So this is not a recommendation that everyone should sleep 18 hours a day. We are not in the sampradaya Kumbhakan. Rather, we should try to follow the examples of the six Goswamis. Nidrahara vihara kadi vichito. They conquered over eating, sleeping, and useless occupations. But we should be intelligent to see our own situations. Sometimes we see devotees, they're young brahmacharis, and for some years they perform severe austerities, hardly sleeping and hardly eating. There's one I know, he practically gave up sleeping for several years. Now he's older and he has to sleep 12 hours a day, otherwise he can't operate. Because his health completely broke down. I also, when I was young, I was going here and there, traveling all over India, and going unreserved on night trains, Madras to Bombay, and getting books and then coming back unreserved, all this kind of thing. I was doing like this for some years.
நான் கூட இளமையாக இருக்கக்கூடிய நேரத்தில் இரவில் இந்த மாதிரி அனாவசியமான அதிகமாக பயந்துட்டேன்.
Then my health broke down so much that I couldn't do any service for about 1.5 years. So now I try to be somewhat balanced. Because we have to maintain our health so that we can serve Krishna. So it's a matter of applying some practical intelligence. It'll be different in each case. From here we shall go, we drove in from Vellore and we'll drive back there and we'll probably reach there not before 12 o'clock midnight. But I'd better be up for Mangalarti because I just gave a class at midday in Vellore about the importance of attending Mangalarti. But I probably have to take a little rest in the day. Otherwise, I'm supposed to be giving some lecture in the evening. And I may be falling asleep in the lecture, which doesn't look so good. It's not so good. So we have to think how best to serve Krishna. Any more questions? If not, then you should chant Hare Krishna and be happy.